wasn't planning on telling anybody's business, but I'm going to tell it this morning. A few weeks ago, I think it was last week, Raven pulled me aside and said that one of her friends, you may remember, came to worship with us from Chicago not that long ago. And one of the girls that were here had her car broken into and stolen in Chicago. And this morning, I had been asking Raven how her friend was doing, because I know that that is a very devastating thing, to have something stolen from you, let alone your vehicle. And so I asked Raven how she was doing. She said she was fine and she hadn't gotten any word. And this morning before worship, she told me that the girl got her car back, or at least they found the car. Now, we don't know if the car is in pieces or anything just yet, but God answers prayers. And so we're praying for her friend. We're praying for all of those who are just going through different situations in this season. We know that there is a lot happening in the world, but God is still on the throne. In this season, you know, Ebenezer, is not just the holidays, as we would say in the secular vernacular, right? It's more about the coming of Christ, what the church calls Advent. It is having this great expectation and hope that Christ will come and rule again. And for that reason, we celebrate all month of Christmas, or all this whole month of December, to lift Christ and to remind ourselves that there is hope, that there is something that we can wait for with expectation, knowing that he will come again. I don't care what the world may tell you, just remember that Scripture has promised to us, and God, in his faithfulness, reminds us that just because the skies may seem dark and gray, even though the night may seem long and never ceasing, that he will come and that the light will shine again. That is the hope that we find this morning in our text found in the book of James. This letter or collection of essays from this great preparer of the way in chapter 5. I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't normally do. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning as we read together, not just me, myself and I. James chapter 5, verse 7. The words are on the screen and also in your Bibles or on your smart devices. Let's read together. Be patient. That's it. You may be seated. How did that feel to you? It was a little awkward. Thank you, Kyra, for talking back to me this morning. If we're just going to be real about it, how many times when you hear the word be patient, are you enthusiastic about that phrase? Be patient. Be patient. And there is something uncomfortable about patience, isn't there? The patience is uncomfortable because, or this silence, this gap, this unknowing, because we cannot control time. And yet time goes on and on. We know that there are 365 days in a year. We know there are 12 months in that year. We know there are so many hours and seconds. I had it all broken down, but I forgot to put on my paper. I wasn't patient with myself this morning. I was rushing. And so I just want to ask you this morning, how comfortable are you being patient? The Bible says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. How long is that? Are y'all going to talk back to me this morning? When is the Lord coming back? Okay, soon. They've been saying that for 2,000 years. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Verse 9 says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. Judge, the Lord is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance. We talked about him last month and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Be patient until the Lord's coming. Let us pray. O God, our Father, I ask your blessings upon us, that we would learn how to wait on you. I ask, O God, that you would allow us to be patient with ourselves and with others around us. Fill us this morning with your word, O God, and allow for us to be an example to the world that patience pays off. Lord, we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Patience. When patience pays off. That is the subject that I want to speak to you from this morning, but we first have to deal with the uncomfortability of patience. It was uncomfortable waiting for the results of the Georgia runoff election, with Senator Raphael Warnock and the other guy. But patience pays off. And Senator Warnock sits as a black senator from the state of Georgia when almost every other office, okay, when patience pays off, you get the results of people like Brittany Griner, who has been stuck in a Russian prison cell and has come home. When patience pays off, we pray and it seems as if though God is not listening. But you sit a little while and you realize that over time, everything comes together for the good. This morning, that is the message, that if you are patient enough, that you wait on the hope and the resurrection of Jesus, or with the same hope that you wait for Jesus and the resurrection, you will realize that time will pay off. All you have to do is sit. All you have to do is wait. All you have to do is have a hope that is never ceasing. And this morning, you can tell a lot about a person based on the patience they have. You can tell their training, their experience. You can tell their age. You can tell the faith that they have by how measured they are in circumstances that are beyond their control. Right? You would think it odd if an older person was fighting every week, every day with a younger person. Come on, put them up. Right? You would think it odd if you saw somebody out, a politician out. Well, never mind. I can't use that example. I'm going to hold that one this morning, but it was there. It is hard to be patient in a world that is constantly divided by competition and violence. It's hard to be patient in a world where everything around us is so instant and so quick and everything is at our fingertips. Facebook Messenger, instant messenger. Food. You got Uber Eats. You have DoorDash. I was just waiting to see if y'all was going to talk back to me. I know that y'all are, you know, very cool, calm, and collected. You don't mind going to wait in the lines in the store. But we know that everything is so quick. I mean, we want everything at our fingertips. It used to be you had to wake up the next morning and get the newspaper to read what happened for the last week or what happened for the last few days. But now you have instant news on your phone. Google will tell you in the morning when you wake up just what the sun is or how bright the sun is shining. Amazon will tell you you can have it in 2 days or less. You know, everything is so instant and so quick. How can we be patient in a world when everything around us comes as soon as we want it? And yet Scripture tells us to be patient until the Lord's coming. Can I let you in on a secret about me? As calm, as collected as I can be sometimes, I am not a patient person. And you too know somebody who is not very patient, right? You have family members who are not patient. You have friends who are not patient. Some of y'all driving to church this morning wasn't patient next to the person that you were driving with. Everybody is put in the same boat here to be patient. Wait on the Lord until his coming. This morning, that is what I want to talk about. The uncomfortability, the uncomfort, the discomfort of patience, of waiting. Before I grab hold of the text this morning, let me just say a word to our youth and our young adults. There are some things you are just not ready for. Legend, legacy, Clay and Toby. To our young adults, to the other children here, there are some things that you are not ready for. No matter how good it looks, there are some things that God says it takes time for you to get there. I know you want to be able to go out when you want to go out. You know, go to the movies with your friends. Y'all remember when you were young? I'm drawing a blank here too. But you know, it's some things like getting on the roller coaster when you're not yet tall enough. It's like whenever you want to watch that movie that's rated PG-13. You're like, I'm old enough. There are some conversations that you want to be part of. And God tells us there are some things that take time. Be patient. Be patient with your parents. Be patient with your friends. Be patient with people. Be patient with your teachers. Be patient with school. And know that whenever God allows it to happen, it will happen for your benefit. There are some things that take time. You're not ready now. But as God prepares you over time, then those things will be fruitful to you. Y'all know there are many commercials. Whenever it comes on, it's, you know, call 8 at J.G. Wentworth, 877 cash now. And at the end of that commercial, it says, call now. There are a bunch of commercials that way, that whenever we see them, it tells us, call now, get it now. And that's how our world is everything is telling you, do it now, but be patient. Y'all get the message, don't you? Okay, well then let's get to it. In James 5, the verse starts off by saying, be patient. The analogy that the scripture gives is that of a farmer. I've preached to you a message before entitled Lessons from a Farm. This morning, it is that same type of thing that we're learning from lessons of a farmer. And there are some lessons that that we can take in that's a part of the text and also that we can infer. The scripture says, like a farmer, verse 7, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Do you see that in the text? What we can learn from that farmer, and what scripture tells us to take away, is the first thing, to trust. In order to have patience, we must trust that everything will work, but we have to give it time. And so we see that the farmer's job description is to depend upon factors he cannot control. He has to depend upon the rain. He has to depend upon the wind, and he has to provide or has to wait on the sunlight that is not provided by his own might or his own capabilities, but yet they will come if he trusts that the one who made it will work it out in the end. Here's the thing. Sometimes the rains do not come. Sometimes the winds do not blow. And sometimes the sun do not shine. Talk back to me if you know anything about it. In your life, you realize that sometimes you need it for rain to fall so that things will grow again. And yet the rain did not stop. Or it did not come. And then there were other moments in your life when you planted things, when you were trying to wait on God, and it seems as if though the rain would not stop. It just kept coming and it flooded everything that you painted. Let me give you an example. Perhaps in your life, whenever you have sowed a seed into your child and you wanted God to work out things in their favor, you wanted them to be brilliant children, and yet the rains would not come. They couldn't get their reading together. They couldn't get their writing together. They wouldn't pay attention in school. The rains would not come. You didn't see those things that you were placing in them taking root, and you were waiting. But the rain was out of your control. Or maybe the rain came too much. Maybe your child went wayward. Maybe they dove in too much into the things that they saw around them. Maybe they were looking at things they shouldn't look at. Maybe they were saying things they shouldn't say. And in the text, the Bible says the rains are beyond our control. You were waiting for that job, and the job didn't come. You were waiting for the promotion and the promotion didn't come. You were studying so hard, but yet when in your studies you could not seem to figure out the answer, you wanted to give up. And it seems as if though the sun would not shine. It's beyond our control. And the Bible says, be like the farmer who planted the seed and waited. This morning, we have to trust that in due time, the things that we have planted will come to life. There's a second thing that we find in the text that we can trace back to with the farmer, but also it talks about strength. We know that in order to be patient, you must endure. You have to keep working. A farmer cannot control everything, but he does have certain responsibilities. The farmer has to get up every single morning and go out to the field in which he's trying to sow and till the ground. The farmer has to get up every single morning and feed the animals that are depending on him. The farmer has to get up every single morning and make sure that the days do not go unnoticed for the things on the farm. In order for you to have patience, in order for you to make it, you have to keep putting in the work. You must endure. The Bible says, have strength. The Bible says, stand firm. Plant your feet on the promise that if you are patient, it will pay off. Endure. You know, sometimes when the rain doesn't come, dirt gets very hard. I used to plant with my grandmother. I couldn't stand it. I didn't like being out in the yard. I didn't like having to cut the grass or weed eat. And after you finish weed eating, you got to pick up the grass. My grandmother didn't believe in blowers. You had to get the broom and the dustpan. She did not believe in just throwing it into the trash. You had to get a trash bag, and you had to tie the trash bag the way that she wanted it tied. Put it into the trash can. Go around and make sure that everything was spick and span. And some days, it was worse because when it rained on the ground, the leaves or the grass would stick. And I would say, well, it's sticky. You can't get it up. And she would say, well, just keep trying. Turn the broom a certain way where the edge is kind of pointed and dig into it a little bit, and eventually you'll get up that piece of grass. But here's the thing that I learned with planting with her. Not only is it sometimes difficult, not only is it hard and uncomfortable to work in the yard and to till, but sometimes there's nothing there to till. Many of you know that right now grass is not growing. So you don't have to cut the grass all the time. Maybe you pay for your yard to be mowed. So you don't have to get your yard cut every single week. You ain't got to pay the person because there's nothing growing. And that's what it seems like in our life, that every now and then, as you are trying everything you can to make everything look spick and span, it seems as if though it's not worth it. Keep working on it. Keep working on that unresolved relationship. Keep working on those friendships that you think are not beneficial to you. Keep working on that job that you want to get that promotion for. Keep working in school for the grades that you did not think you could get. Keep working in your family on that person who has seemed to bother you and mess up everything that you had planned, trying to get that relationship right because you quit talking to this person for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 45, 46, 47 years. Those relationships that you've given up on, go back and remember this word. endure. There's one last thing and I'm done. Be reminded that patience pays off. It pays. It pays whenever you've planted something. The Bible refers to the first and second rains. In this period in our text, it would rain around the time of October, November. And the farmer was charged to go and plant the seed. And then, in the springtime, around April, the harvest would come in. That's roughly, let's see, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. That's about 6 months from the time you took something that you paid for. As y'all know, seeds and plants and everything cost money. Y'all, you know that you got to go to the store, you got to go to the local harvest place and get those things to plant in the ground. Okay, y'all don't do yard work. Okay, well, let me tell you, I'm not talking about the yard. I'm talking about there are some things in your life you've paid for. There's things in your life you've sacrificed for, time that you have wasted, it seems, on things that you did not see a value in. And then on top of that, you had to put it in the ground beyond your control. You had to wait for the rain to take root. And that is when, at the end of your waiting, you see something. It doesn't seem like much at first because you do know that most plants, and I do say most, there are some that spring up real quick, but there are most plants that whenever you plant them, they don't just, it takes time. Even when you see it coming into fruition, it seems as if though it's not worth it. But if you wait just a little while, it pays off. A farmer knows that the harvest is coming. He knows its value because he's the one who has toiled over it. Even when everybody else says, why are you planting right now? Why is it that you keep going out into this soil and trying to plant on dirt that hasn't yielded you a crop yet? Why do you keep going back to people that seem like they are disappointing you over and over and over again? Why is it that you keep coming back to church when church people seem like they let you down over and over again? Why do you go to Christian education, discipleship, that? Why do you keep coming back when you know this is not working for me? Why do I keep singing in the choir when the person next to me can't sing? Well, why is it that I keep ushering when people don't smile back at you? Why is it that I'm a deacon and nobody knows the time and effort that I put in? We got to take a survey to make sure that people know what we're doing. Well, why is it that I keep putting my time and my effort into things that does not seem like it's paying off? And here's why. Because in due time, we don't know if it's 1 month. We don't know if it's 2 months. We don't know if it's 3 years. We don't know if it's 10 years. We don't know if I'm almost getting ready to retire. And it seems like nothing has paid off. Keep working. Keep enduring. And know that patience pays off. I asked Dr. Davis to send some things that they've been working on. I asked him for the highs and the lows of the Platinum Jubilee celebration for the Child Development Center. Because I remember when Dr. Freeman and I, Pastor Freeman and I, would come to the church and we would see no cars next door. And so I wanted to know how they made it. Dr. Davis said that there was a staff turnover and shortages on hiring new teachers. There was a declining of the performance on Texas Rising Star. The rating of the Child Development Center was going down. He said there was outdated curriculum and instructional supplies, but they endured. And in the midst of the pandemic, he said the enrollment dropped to just three students. Three students. He said teachers' hours had significantly been reduced, impacting the paychecks, and staff and children were testing positive for COVID. That's why there were no cars next door. There was an unavailability of staff as the enrollment decreased. And so what do you do? What do you do when everything around you, the thing that you work for, the thing that you have vision, the thing that you're in charge of, doesn't seem to be showing fruit? You keep enduring. You stay patient. And now here they are. They received a 4-star rating in 2021 and also 4-star in 2022. We see that they are offering now STEM classes for pre-K students and from the UT engineering schools and the HT schools. We see that they have implemented staff development. We see that they've added child-friendly walls for colors and animals and other wall designs. They have been improving on their security. They see that the water infiltration system needed to be replaced, so they were able to replace it. They got grants to make sure that they're able to pay their teachers adequate salaries. They were able to replace all the toilets. Whenever you see that your labor seems to be dwindling, when everything around you seems like it's kind of going short, all you have to do is be patient. You have to endure. He says, we remained open even when there was nobody here. We remained open and we had our arms welcoming for that child that came in, even if it was 1, 2, or 3. And sometimes in your life, that's what it seems like. It's nobody around. It's nothing there. All you have to do is count on your hand how many times God has made a way. He woke you up this morning. He kept you last night when I was sick and the doctor said I only had a little time to live. Whenever my friends seemed to walk away, but yet I wasn't lonely. As a matter of fact, I was better off with some of them gone. And when I come to church and nobody smiles at me, it seems like God still gives me a reason to be thankful. All I got to remember is I have 5 reasons on my hand to be patient. I have 5 reasons to last just another moment. I have 5 reasons that I can continue to count God faithful. If there's nobody here, I'll say it by myself. God is faithful. God is worthy. No matter what we are going through, all we have to do is be patient. 70 years when we didn't know how or where we were going to house the children, Dr. Marshall, there was a center built. 70 years when teachers were hard to find. 70 years I waited in the storm, and yet God continued. 70 years, and you wonder how long. When is Jesus coming back? If it takes another 70 years, I'll keep on waiting. I'll keep on waiting. I'll keep on waiting. And that is the message this morning. Many of us have become weary in well-doing, but in due season, if you do not faint, you shall reap what we sow. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, it will pay off. This morning, I don't know who that message is for, But I want to extend to you another fact. If you don't know him, there's a man named Jesus. Jesus, who is able to wipe away all of your sins, able to dry your weeping eye, able to fill the gap, is waiting for you. You're wondering, how long do I have to wait? Don't worry. Jesus is there. He'll wait with you. This morning, if you need a Savior like that, somebody who is not impatient of the things that you've done, impatient with where your life is, I offer Christ to you. Maybe you're looking for a church home. You've been patiently waiting, finding somebody who will love on you, that will welcome you, that will open their arms to you. Ebenezer is that place. And I offer Christ to you. I offer outstretched arms for you to come and belong to a family who is patiently waiting, not just for you, but for the hope, for the resurrection, for the justice, for the liberty that Christ brings. If that is you this morning, as our deacons and our greeters come, we offer Christ. Just come down the aisle and we'll extend an outstretched arm to you. If you're online, go to ebc3austin.org and know that we're waiting for your response. Ebenezer, let us stand. Sing that together. We offer Christ to you, oh my brother, oh my sister. Come if you're here. We offer him to you. We offer Christ to you. Somebody on the edge of their seat waiting to come. We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you.
We'll wait for you.
Oh my sister.
He will give you brand new life.
He will give you brand new life.
New life abundantly.
New life abundantly.
Oh, come.
Oh, come.
Come on, come on.
Come on to Christ.
As we prepare for our benediction, in the text, beloved, Christ is the judge. Christ knows exactly what time to pull the seed out of the root. Christ knows exactly how much we can take. All we have to do is be patient. Wait on him. That is what this season is about. Waiting with the hope that he will come again. Would you receive now our benediction? I want our participants, Toby, Legacy, Legend, and Trey, to meet us in the back for the receiving line. Let us receive now.
May his peace be with you till we meet again. May his peace be with you till we meet again. Till we reach that distant shore and we share a tear.
God, I thank you this morning for the expectation of Christ's coming. I thank you, O God, because you remind us day in and day out when the sun rises, when the sun sets, that we do not have to be worried. For in due season, if we do not faint, we will reap the harvest that is planted. We will reap the harvest of joy. We'll reap the harvest of happiness. We'll reap the harvest of hope. And, O God, our hope rests in you. I ask your blessings upon us now as we depart from this place over our youth and our children. I ask your blessings upon their parents. I ask that you would keep them in perfect peace, that you would allow them to know that if they trust in you, if they hold to your unchanging hand, there is nothing that the world can do to set the sun upon their lives. For it is you who controls the wind. It is you who controls the rain. And so they can trust, O God, that it is you who hold tomorrow. Lord, I pray special blessings upon our pastor. I ask that you would continue to strengthen him and keep him. I ask that you would continue to bless the members of the Ebenezer Child Development Center, the board. We ask that you would continue to keep the staff, that they may continue to run on, O God, for another 70 years. Continue to bless the labor of Dr. Davis and the chair of the board, Dr. Marshall, that you would continue to let them know that their efforts is not in vain. Lord, watch over us as we continue to live out this week in your promise and your hope, and allow us to come back together again next week shouting from the rooftops that you, O God, have been faithful yet again. We give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor through Christ, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. As we receive our benediction, sorry, Brother Moshe, our young adults are going to be meeting. So please, young adults, check your phones for the location of our eating venue. Ebenezer, continue to keep our children and our youth in your prayers, and continue to have a safe flight back home for our guests coming from the Netherlands. May God bless you and keep you.